Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother, servant in Christ, and host, Radio Reformer, am in studio to present to you Proposition Number 74. We have presented thus far 73 propositions, 73 bullet points addressing the abuses and the malpractices and the heresies and the false teachings that have invaded the African American church with the help of, with the assistance of, the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, the number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730, and we're giving out the number in hopes that Mr. J. Delano Ellis, the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the Joint College, will call in, and we'll have some one of his officials call in and present a counter-reformation. Thus far, we've not heard from them, but we will continue to move along. We will continue to present our 95 propositions. Today is Proposition 74. After that, we will only have 21 more to go. And October 31st, 2017 is right around the corner, and that will mark the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Well, today's proposition reads like this. The Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has gone the way of Cain and now peddles Rome's Christless gospel. What does Mr. Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the Joint College of African American Bishops do? Well, he presents a Christless gospel. Christless, Christless, Christless. We know that J. Delano Ellis has joined the ranks of Rome. There's no denying it. To the casual observer, to the person who scours the internet and reads newspaper articles, it is quite evident that the Joint College of African American Bishops has been accused of becoming Roman Catholic. I didn't write those articles. I'm simply reporting on them. And this conclusion was based on the fact, that the Joint College dresses like Roman Catholic clergy do and sound exactly like Roman Catholic clergy do and push the fable, the fantasy, the myth of apostolic succession just like the Roman Catholic Church does, and in fact will even boast of having Western succession, just as the Roman Catholic Church does. It is no surprise to anyone that J. Delano Ellis has made numerous pilgrimages to Rome to meet with popes. That's a fact. And if he's looking to hook up with the Pope, if he's looking to hook up and be in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church, if he's looking to show ecumenical ties with the Church of Rome, well, what does the Church of Rome promote? It promotes a Christless gospel. Everything about Rome, everything about the Roman Catholic Church is Christless. They want to remove Christ. Now they got to have Christ, but really they don't want Christ. They tolerate Christ, but he is not the center. He is not the central focus of their worship. The Roman Catholic Church is a church that promotes idolatry. Idolatry on a grand scale. It is a religion that does not honor the blood of Christ. It is a pagan religion. It is a pagan-based religion. The book of Hebrews says that Christ was sacrifice, Christ was crucified once and for all. Yet the Roman Catholic Church says, no, they crucify Christ every time they conduct the Mass. Well, that's a contradiction of Scripture. Obviously, they are not crucifying the Christ. For the real Christ and his real blood was shed on the cross. The book of Hebrews says that his blood cleanses us of, or the book of the first epistle of John, as does the book of Hebrew, tells us that the blood of Christ cleanses us of all unrighteousness. That the blood of Christ is all sufficient. then nothing more is needed to save a sinner but the blood of Christ. For Peter says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the incorruptible blood of the Son of God. Yet Rome pushes a gospel of works. And J. Delano Ellis has joined Rome in pushing a gospel of works. Now, he doesn't want to argue this, but I'm ready to debate him on this, and I'm willing to show him the errors of his way. The number here is 646-564-9730. I am willing to show Mr. Ellis that the gospel that he preaches is a Christless gospel. I don't care what he says out of one side of his mouth. It's what he's saying out of the other side of his mouth. He's a walking contradiction, is Mr. J. Delano Ellis. For you cannot have two forms of salvation. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Then he's peddling the traditions and canon law of the Roman Catholic Church, which has always stated that you must add works in order to be saved. Why J. Delano Ellis is chasing the popes amazes us. Why would a man who claims to be a follower of Christ be chasing after the pope? No one should be chasing any pope. No one should be seeking unity with any pope. No one should be seeking to be under the same tent with any pope. For the pope, as the reformers have stated over and over again, is the representative of an anti-Christian system that is abhorrent to Christ. The Church of Rome is the Church of Satan. The Church of Rome is the harlot church of Revelation 17 and 18, which is scheduled, which is on the docket to be judged. Why would J. Delano Ellis bear the colors of Rome? Why would J. Delano Ellis don himself and his followers in the scarlet and purple color of the harlot church? Well, because they've joined the harlot church. Everything that comes out of J. Delano Ellis' mouth is canon law. Canon law this, canon law that. He claims that he is Anglican. Well, anyone who claims to be Anglican knows that to be Anglican is to be Roman Catholic. Let's not be so stupid. Let's not be so asinine. But again, Mr. J. Delano Ellis won't call, even though we repeatedly give out the number, 646-564-9730, because he knows that we will embarrass him, that we will expose him, that we will show without any doubt that he, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, has become so anti-Christian that he has gone the way of Cain. He preaches a gospel of works, not a gospel solely based on Christ. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, God made coats of skins for Adam and Eve, and God clothed them in these coats of skin. Adam and Eve had clothed themselves in fig leaves. Let's read Genesis chapter 3. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard, they being Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst what? Amongst what? Amongst the trees of the garden. In verse 7 it says, and the eyes of both Adam and Eve were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. See, it's this represents a gospel of works. We're going to try to cover our sin, not with blood, not with the blood of an animal, but we're going to cover our skin We're going to cover our sins, rather, our sins with fig leaves, with garments, man-made garments. Garments that serve no purpose, for they cannot hide our sinful nature. It is for this reason that God takes off the apron skins that they made. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. It is for this reason that it says in chapter 3, verse 21, and unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. In other words, God sacrificed animals. God shed the blood of innocent animals. These innocent animals were a type of Christ who was to die in our stead, and it is his blood who covers, buries our sins. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins, and he clothed them, he covered them. God was teaching Adam and Eve that the gospel involved the vicarious atonement, that one must die in their place, that one must shed his blood in their place to atone for their sins. It was a type of Christ, Christ being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Well. Their first son, Cain, tries to approach God the way the parents tried to approach God in verse 7 of Genesis 3. Again, let me read Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of Adam and Eve were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Again, God counters by showing them what was right, and that was to clothe them in animal skins. Well, it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived, and she bare Cain, and she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. God rejected Cain's bloodless, Christless gospel. You see, Cain was trying to establish his own access way to God, and it was bloodless. Cain was trying to establish a way to God that involved a gospel of works. A gospel of works. A gospel of works. And for this, the Lord had no respect unto his gospel. The Lord had no respect unto his offering. The Lord rejected Cain's offering. In fact, the Lord said to Cain in Genesis 4:6, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. But if you will not do well, sin lieth at the door, and it shall be unto thee thy desires, and it shall rule over him. My brothers and sisters, God advised Cain. God warned Cain. God re-instructed Cain, because no doubt, that Adam and Eve, having themselves been taught of God in Genesis 3:21, how God clothed them with animal skins, how God sacrificed animals on their behalf to cover their sin, God was teaching them the way to access to him. This was passed on to their two sons, Cain and Abel, and to their other children. Cain refused to follow the pattern that God gave Adam and Eve, and he chose to follow the pattern that his parents had created, in that he tried to cover himself as they did with an offering from the fruit of the ground. They tried to cover themselves with aprons made out of fig leaves. Fig leaves and the fruit of the ground have no blood. A lamb, a sacrifice brought by Abel had blood. The blood talks about, points to the blood of Christ. How does the Roman Catholic Church, how do you get out of purgatory? How do you get saved? In the Roman Catholic system, you approach Mary. You call upon Mary. You ask Mary to intercede for you. You ask the saints to intercede for you. Once you wind up in purgatory, then you're there. You're being purged. The blood of Jesus avails you nothing. Not in the Roman Catholic system. It avails you little. In the Roman Catholic system, it avails you nothing. In joining up with the Church of Rome, J. Delano Ellis has gone the way of Cain, in that he too now comes before God and excludes Christ. The gospel J. Delano Ellis has presented to the African American church, the makeover that J. Delano Ellis is giving the African American church is a Romish makeover. And again, everything that Rome promotes excludes the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Everything in Rome is about everything but Jesus. In fact, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church takes the place of Jesus. You no longer have Jesus, for the Pope is the vicar of Christ. He's called the substitute of Christ. You don't need Christ anymore. You got the Pope. He's the substitute. He's a substitute you and I don't want. He calls himself, does the Pope, the Bishop of Bishops, but only Christ is the Bishop of Bishops. The Pope calls himself Pontifex Maximus, pagan high priest. That title he can keep, for it is his. But please note, dear saints, that the Pope has been put in place by the devil to take the hearts of the people away from Jesus and to put them on the Pope. Again, the Roman Catholic Church is Satan's masterpiece. Satan's masterpiece, which now J. Delano Ellis peddles in the African American Church, presents, does J. Delano Ellis, in all of this Episcopal baloney that he pushes, in all of this Episcopal nonsense that J. Delano Ellis pushes, in following the Episcopal model of the Roman Catholic Church, this Episcopal Tower of Babel, J. Delano Ellis preaches a Christless gospel, a Christless gospel. Here is J. Delano Ellis reminding us that he is the way. Here he is. Here is J. Delano Ellis telling us that he's a roadmap. Instead of saying that Jesus is the roadmap, for Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, J. Delano Ellis says he's the roadmap, when really the roadmap is Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But now J. Delano Ellis tells you he's a roadmap. He has gone, and what I mean by he, J. Delano Ellis, has gone the way of Cain. Here he is, saints of God.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
No, it is not important for the ongoing life of the Pentecostal movement as we know it, because Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you have no life. We don't need the Joint College of African American Bishops to stay alive. What we need is we need to remain connected to Christ to be alive. You see, this is a Christless gospel. when he says, when he declares that the Joint College of African American Bishops, this asinine organization, is important because it provides for the life of the ongoing Pentecostal movement. Well, life is in Christ. Life is not in some organization. Apart from Christ, we have no life. As you can see, he has put the Joint College of African American Bishops in the place of Jesus. I'm telling you, this man presents a Christless gospel. There's no mention of Jesus here. And even if there is a mention every now and then, it's simply lip service. Here it is again.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important?
It's not important. If we did away with the organization today, the church would continue. This organization is detrimental to the African American church. It is dangerous to the life of the African American church.
The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
No, 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 no. Life is only in Christ. Here's the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Here's the Gospel of John, Mr. Ellis. You are so ill-informed, Mr. Ellis. And that's what you would expect of a Cain. A Cain refuses the truth. In the Gospel of John, it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came, speaking of John the Baptist, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might believe in him. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. As many as received him, he gave them the power to be called the sons of God. As many as received him, he gave them the what? The power to be called the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist bore witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, save the only begotten of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. He hath declared what? Him. You see, John the Baptist preached a gospel that was all about Christ. He preached a Christ-full gospel. J. Delano Ellis chooses to preach a Christless gospel. All John did was he bore witness of the light. Cains do not bear witness of the light. Canes bear witness of fig leaf aprons.
In that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth.
You see, ethos and Lambeth are Catholic words. Catholic clergy use those words constantly. This is not where in the church do you hear anybody talking about ethos or Lambeth? Where? These are Catholic terms. This guy has had a Catholic makeover.
Community of similar ethos as does Lambeth for Anglicanism. We may not impact the entire church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The joint college is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African-American reformations that subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The joint college brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African-American heritage or experience. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
His office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law. Why? Because the law is set up by Satan. Satan is the designer of canon law. Canon law is the doctrines of men and doctrines of demons meshed together. His office is not designed to be law because the Roman Catholic Church runs by canon law, Satan law. But he is a roadmap. He is pointing people away from God and to Rome, to Antichrist. So yes, he has gone the way of Cain in that. He pushes everything like ethos and Lambeth, Anglicanism. If you look at the Anglican Church, the only other dead church other than the Anglican Church is the Roman Catholic Church. Spiritually dead, that is, spiritually dead. But this is what he pushes. And he talks to him, you see, he's got this exalted title. Where would you find the term metropolitan? Well, its origin is Roman Catholic. Where would you find the term archbishop? It's Roman Catholic. You see, everything about this man, the suit that he's wearing, the chain in his pocket, the pectoral cross, the purple shirt, all of that, the episcopal ring, all of that garbage is Roman Catholic. He has gone the way of Cain. He is preaching a Christless gospel. Christless to the core. All of it is Christless. The number here is 646-564-9730. I want you to hear this thing where he calls himself a roadmap. That's important. A roadmap. Because I thought Jesus was the roadmap. I thought Jesus said, I am the way. I thought Jesus said that there's a straight path. The wide path leads to destruction. The wide path being the ecumenical path. The path which J. Delano Ellis and so many others in the Joint College of African American Bishops are on. That's the big path. That's the wide path. The straight, the narrow path is the path of Christ. Well, J. Delano Ellis claims to be a roadmap.
To the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority.
First of all, you're not supposed to be moral and spiritual authority. Moral authority is God's word. Spiritual authority comes from God's word. You're nothing. I'm nothing. All moral authority, all spiritual authority comes from God's word. Yet he claims to be moral and spiritual authority. He's an antichrist. The very fact that now he's going to claim to be a roadmap tells you he's an antichrist.
That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law. In the same way, the role and importance of the Joint College, while not universally influential, nevertheless finds its importance in bringing universal orthodoxy to the African-American church.
In other words, he's bringing universal orthodoxy from the universal pagan church, Rome, and he's subjecting it to the African-American church. The African-American church will not impact the world, but Rome impacts the world because it's Rome pushes universal orthodoxy. That's what he subscribes to. That's what he's peddling. He's gone the way of Cain. Woe to them who have gone the way of Cain, who preach a Christless gospel. There's nothing that Rome preaches that has Jesus in it. Nothing. Because even the Jesus that Rome presents is not Jesus. It's not biblical Jesus. It's a pagan Jesus. It's a satanic Jesus. This Jesus whom Rome represents is not subject to his mother Mary. The Jesus that Rome presents is vindictive and nasty and hateful and judgmental. And Mary is really the Savior, not Jesus. Jesus, in Roman Catholic theology, is the judge. Mary is the Savior. Talk about role reversal. Mary's not the Savior. Mary's the sinner. Only Jesus is the Savior. But you're not going to hear that from J. Delano Ellis. Not going to hear it from him. Now, here's another clip where J. Delano Ellis talks about his garments. Listen to this clip where he talks about his vestments and the plumes. Vestments, and in other words, fig leaves. Fig leaves.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what?
You and everybody else in the church is asking for what? Because all you guys are peacocks. You're false prophets. You're Nehushtans, as I was explaining yesterday. You've turned all of these people, all of these bishops that you are consecrating, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, and the number here is 646-564-9730. Let's mix it up, Mr. Ellis. Let's you and I mix it up. Let's go mano a mano a little bit here. Mr. Ellis keeps elevating these people. He keeps telling these bishops that now they are to receive the people's adulation, idolization, hero worship. To another bishop, to another congregation, he says, don't hug your bishop now. You can't hug her. Well, now, when she extends her hand, when she puts out her hand having the ring on it, you bow and you bend over and you kiss that ring. My brothers and sisters, that's paganism. But that's what he's pushing. And he says, I don't understand why all these elevations. And for, I keep asking myself, and for what? Well, we were asking that for years. But we know and for what? Because it was your job to corrupt, pervert, and pollute the African-American church. You're an emissary of Rome. You're a Cain. Woe to them who have gone the way of Cain.
Elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what?
But you started this mess. It was you who started this nonsense. Now it's out of control. Now everybody and their mother wants to be a Roman Catholic bishop. Everybody and their mother wants to dress like a Roman Catholic stooge. Thanks to you.
And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan?
Well, you don't need a succession plan. Succession, God decides who succeeds in the ministry. You don't decide who succeeds. God decides who succeeds. When God said to Moses, "I will gather you unto your people," in Numbers 27, Moses prayed. He says, "Well, when you take me to glory, don't leave your people without a shepherd." And God said to him, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, and make him your successor." God told Elijah, the prophet, who his successor was going to be. God told them who to go to and put his mantle upon. We don't pick the people. The apostles didn't pick the successor of Judas. God picked the successor of Judas in the upper room. Read Acts chapter 1. We don't have a succession plan. God is the one who has a succession plan. God and God alone does the picking. But you see, this is a Christless gospel. There's no God in this. This is all man-made, satanic-made. Men and Satan are partners in this enterprise.
I mean a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it. Because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene.
Of course they will die because the organizations are not connected to Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the husbandman. My Father will prune you. My Father will ensure that you will continue to bear fruit." Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Well, of course the organizations are going to die once you die because the organization is man-made. And man-maintained. It's not of God. Thank you for telling us the obvious. Thank you for pointing out the obvious. Thank you for confirming what we've been saying all along. Of course the organization is going to die once the man who started it dies. It's connected to him and not Jesus.
Shortly after we're off the scene, great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene. Now you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts?
Sure, this is why I'm trying to get you to call in. The number here is 646-564-9730. I agree with you. This should be discussed. Let's discuss it. Call in the broadcast right now. I'm looking here. I'm looking at the screen, but I don't see your number, Mr. Ellis. 646-564-9730. Can you call in so that we can have this discussion? Which I agree with you, one of the few things I agree with, it's a worthwhile discussion having.
Isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online, hurry up. College of Bishops. .org. Register. I need to see you there. We are past the robes.
Did you hear that? He says we're past the robes. Listen to this. It's critical.
Past the robes. We got that down. That's the rules. We got that down pat. Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings.
Did you hear that? We know how to put on vestments, plumes, chains, and rings. He's talking about Episcopal garb. He's talking about the junk. He's talking about the vestments and the insignia that Roman Catholic bishops wear and Roman Catholic wannabe bishops wear. Did you hear that? We know how to put on the vestments, the plumes, the feathers, the chains, the rings, the faggot wear. In other words, the faggot wear. We know how to put on the faggot wear. Isn't it surprising that the Roman Catholic Church is the number one producer of faggots? Well, if you're wearing vestments, if you as a man are wearing soft vestments, effeminate vestments, and plumes, and chains and rings, I mean, you're operating, the Joint College of African American Bishops is nothing more than a charm school. A charm school. A charm school.
We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things. Some of us look like Darth Vader.
Yeah, you do look like Darth Vader, a New Age version of the devil. Yeah, you do. No. Again, this is coming out of this guy's mouth. I didn't put words in his mouth. And he's laughing. He's laughing. He's approaching God like Cain did. He's approaching God. He's trying to approach God, and God says it's wrong. You cannot approach me without blood. The gospel of my son is the gospel of blood. Behold, said John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You can't come to God with vegetables and plants and greenery. There's no blood in plant life. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, that's the gospel. That's the gospel Cain was peddling. That's the gospel this guy's peddling. A gospel of vestments, a gospel of plumes, a gospel of chains and rings, a gospel of the harlot church of Revelation 17, a prostitute gospel, charm school gospel, a hooker's gospel, if you will. Now, here is the great Puritan, Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan. And he talks about believers not being proud of your fine feathers. In other words, he's speaking to J. Delano Ellis, and he's telling him, don't be so proud of your vestments and your plumes and your chains and your rings. Oh, you Cain. Woe to you, Cain. Here is Puritan Thomas Watson. Do not be proud of your fine feathers.
Do not be proud of your fine feathers. By Thomas Watson. Behold here a sacred riddle or paradox. God was manifest in the flesh. That man should be made in God's image was a wonder, but that God should be made in man's image is a greater wonder. That the Ancient of Days should be born, that he who thunders in the heavens should cry in the cradle, that he who rules the stars should suck the breast, that Christ should be made of a woman, and of that woman which he himself made, that the mother should be younger than the child she bore. This is the most astonishing miracle. God was manifest in the flesh is a mystery we shall never fully understand until we come to heaven, when our light shall be clear, as well as our love perfect. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, verse 8. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. This was the lowest degree of Christ's humiliation, that Christ, who would not endure sin in the angels, should endure to have sin imputed to himself, is the most amazing humility that ever was. Christian, learn to be humble. Do you see Christ humbling himself, and are you proud? It is the humble saint who is Christ's picture. Christians, do not be proud of your fine feathers. Have you an estate? Do not be proud. The earth you tread on is richer than you. It has mines of gold and silver in its depths. Have you beauty? Do not be proud. It is but water mingled with dirt. Have you skill and abilities? Be humble. Lucifer has more knowledge than you. Have you grace? Be humble. It is not of your own making. It was given to you by God. You have more sin than grace, more spots than beauty. Oh, look on Christ, this rare pattern of humility, and be humbled. It is a sad sight to see God humbling himself and man exalting himself, to see a humble Savior and a proud sinner. God hates the very semblance of pride. I hate pride and arrogance. Proverbs 8, verse 13. If God, says Augustine, did not spare the angels when they grew proud, will he spare you, who are but dust and sin? This Puritan devotional.
And there you have it. This man is proud, as Cain was, of his fine feathers. Cain approached God with his works, and God rejected them. J. Delano Ellis teaches people, bishops, and African-American church members, he teaches them to be proud, to put on their vestments, to put on their plumes, to put on their fine feathers, to put on their crosses and their chains and their rings. But to all of this, this is an abomination. Mr. J. Delano Ellis has gone the way of Cain in that he no longer preaches Christ, but he preaches canon law. He preaches Anglicanism. He preaches Romanism. And Anglicanism and Romanism is devoid of Christ. Therefore, he preaches, like Cain, a Christless gospel. Saints, I will be back on Wednesday with proposition number 75. And I'll be waiting for you, Mr. Ellis. I'll be waiting for you to call in to the program. God bless you, saints. And until Wednesday, may God keep you and watch over you. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name. From age to age the same, and He must win the battle. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not.